Well, you know, last week, because of the renovation around here, I started a series called Restoration Series. You know, and last week, remember, I talked about He's the Master Restorer, that God would do it again. And over and over again, He did. In the Bible, you can see that He would come in and restore the people. And so today, I'm talking about turnaround. You know, we may think it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. If you believe that all things are possible, then it's not impossible. So I want to look at a Bible character that I think is one of the, it's the greatest story of forgiveness and restoration in the Bible, I think. It is Joseph. His story shows forgiveness and restoration. Now let's look at Genesis 37. Genesis 37. We're not going to read all. If you want to read all there, go there and those scriptures and read the whole story. I'm just going to read from bits and pieces of it. 37:5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed." Now it says they hated him even more. Joseph was Jacob's, or Israel, as his name was changed to, favorite son. He had made him a coat of many colors and given to him. How many of you know the story of Joseph? Oh yeah, most of you do, so I don't need. So now he starts having these dreams. "There we were building sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheave arose and also stood upright. Indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to mine." His brothers said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall we indeed have dominion, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brother and said, "Look, I've dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Here we see Joseph at this time was probably in his late teens, 17, 18 years old. We don't know for sure. And he had this supernatural dreams, and now he shares them with his family. But they say, "Wait a minute, this is ridiculous. We're going to bow down to you? You the youngest one of the bunch." And so he was next to the youngest. His father even rebuked him. And so now here they are in this situation. Joseph is there. So nobody believes him. Nobody wants to listen to him. You know, sometimes when you share what God has told you, you'll often find that people, even your own family, will rise up against you. See, the enemy will do whatever he can to keep you from experiencing what he has for you. Now, so the enemy now comes to steal, kill, and destroy Joseph so he cannot be what God had for him to do. Now here he is, and his dad tells him, said, "Hey, go check on your brothers. They're out there somewhere with tending the flocks." So he went out to look for his brothers, and he asked a guy, and he said, "Well, they've left here, and they've gone over there." So he went over there where he was. And if you'll read the story, they said, "Behold, the dreamer cometh," and they get all upset at him. And so in Genesis 37:24, we pick up again. "Then they took him and cast him into a pit. First, they wanted to kill him, and the other brother said, no, let's don't kill him. So they put him in this empty pit where there's no water in it. And they thought that he would just be in there and couldn't get out, and he would die of starvation. They took his coat, and they killed an animal, and they shredded the coat, his coat of many colors, and put the blood all over it so they could take it back to his father and tell his father that an animal had killed Joseph. So they then, after they put him in the pit, they sat down to eat their meal, and they lift their eyes and look, and they saw a company of the Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, and with their camels bearing spices, balms, myrrh, on their way to them to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come on, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he's our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened, and the Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took him to Egypt. Now he gets down to Egypt. He's thrown in a pit. He's sold to the slave traders. And man, that's bad. Joseph in a bad way, but it gets worse. Here he is into Egypt, and they get him down there, so they sell him to Potiphar, and he becomes the ruler in Potiphar's house, and we'll see that God's hand is upon him. Now Potiphar's wife accuses him of rape, and he gets thrown into prison. And it looked like that none of this is ever going to come to pass. You know, actually in Psalms, talking about this, talking about Joseph in Psalms 107:18 in the New, it says, they bruised his feet with fetters and placed an iron collar on his neck. In prison, though, he becomes the leader in the prison. I'll read that to you in a minute. And so then Pharaoh's cupbearer and his chief baker, they had dreams, and they didn't know how to interpret them, so Joseph interpreted them for them. The cupbearer in 3 days was going to get released and be restored to his position. The baker was going to be, in 3 days, was going to be killed, if you read the story. So now here he is, and he tells the cupbearer, hey, don't forget me when you get to the king. Help me out. But the cupbearer forgot him. Now I imagine in all of this that Joseph is wondering, where is God? What about my dreams? See, if you'll notice, we often get attacked by the enemy after we've had a supernatural experience. Anybody ever notice that? It's the enemy wants to try to steal from you. Now, one of the reasons he wants to attack you right after you've had a supernatural experience is because your guard is down. It's sort of like when you're playing football and you win a really tough game, the coach has to sort of get you in the locker room on Monday, if that's on Friday night, and say, listen, boys, that was a great win, but we got another game Friday night. Now, come on, let's get with it. And a lot of times, after you have won a game like that, you lose the next game. Anybody ever know what I'm talking about? How many have been there, done that? Yeah, well, a lot of us have. You know why? Because we're still rejoicing in our victory and we're not ready for the fight. We're not ready. That's why the enemy can't try. So always stay ready. I have one coach that told us, the football guys, he said, don't ever relax. Be ready to hit or be hit. Don't ever relax. I don't care if the whistle blows. You're walking back to the huddle. Don't ever relax till you get in that huddle. Always be ready to be hit or hit somebody. because you're ready. You're tense. When you're relaxed, you get hurt a lot easier. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Come on now. Here we are. Joseph, he's in this position. And the devil has overwhelmed him. And the devil comes in like to us sometimes. But you know, in Isaiah 59:19, it says when the enemy comes in like a flood, that he'll raise up a standard against him. You know, it tells us in John 10:10, we know that the thief has come except to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, Joseph didn't give up. He served faithfully. Even in Potiphar's house, he became the chief servant. In Genesis 39:21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. In other words, the warden. And the warden of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did, there it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Now, Joseph was faithful. He was faithful to God, and because of his faithfulness to God, he kept getting promoted. Even in his tough situation, he kept being promoted. And, because Joseph's faithfulness, God gave him favor everywhere he went. Favor in Potiphar's house, favor in the jail, favor with Pharaoh. You know, God wants his people here on earth to help him. We are here to help him. He can't do it. He does it through us. Go in the Bible and look at how people help God. Noah built an ark, and it saved his family. Abraham believed God, and he got a son. Moses learned how to be a shepherd, and he became the leader of the Israelites. Gideon believed the angel and become a deliverer for Israel. David put his trust in God and killed a giant. You know, God will always looks for those that will cooperate with him. And as you believe him and cooperate with him, then he turns it around for you. He turns your situation around. Joseph was faithful, and God continued to bless him. Even in dire circumstances, God continued to bless him. So if you'll keep being faithful to God and believing God, it doesn't matter where you're at or what's going on, God will give you favor. You know, he was faithful to God even when things weren't going well. And during the difficult times, Joseph probably wondered if any of this was ever, these dreams, are they ever going to come true? How is it going to happen? But he continued to be faithful to God. That's the point I want you to get. The turnaround came because he continued to be faithful to serve the Lord God Jehovah. Turnaround comes when you are willing to be faithful to God, even in the tough times, knowing that that's, as Paul said, that will pass. That is temporary. Now here he is. Here's Joseph. He's in this situation. And suddenly, one day, it all turns around. Pharaoh had a dream, and he couldn't come up with the interpretation. None of his soothsayers or none of his so-called smart men were able to give the interpretation. And the cupbearer happened to remember that, hey, I bet Joseph can do this. He told me my dream. So they Pharaoh said, hey, there's a guy down there in the prison with me that interpreted my dream. I believe he can do this for you. So they sent and got Joseph and brought him up to Pharaoh. And he told Pharaoh what the dream meant. It meant that they're going to be 7 years of good time, and then they're going to be 7 years of lean time. And so now Pharaoh says, okay, you're in charge. You store up as much food as possible. So now he's in charge of the food program. He became like a prime minister. I mean, he even had the Pharaoh's ring. It was during the good times. And then the famine hit. And nobody else had any food anywhere around. Only in Egypt where Joseph had, because God had turned it around for him, brought him out of the prison, set him up second in command underneath the Pharaoh. And now he had done what God had told him to do. He saved up all of this food. And throughout all of the land, nobody had food except the people in Egypt. Everybody else is starving to death. And yet in Egypt, they got all they got more than enough. See, that's the way God always does it. He always gives you more than enough. And now Jacob hears about this. And he says, all right, guys, y'all go down there to Egypt and see if they will give us some food. Now the brothers come in, but they don't recognize Joseph, but they bow down to him. They don't recognize him. He's not that kid that they sold into slavery anymore. He's now the second in command of the whole nation of Egypt. And they bow down to him. So Joseph plays with them a little bit. Can you imagine when he sees his brothers? He knows them. They don't know him. And they bow down to him. Now he didn't gloat over this, but I imagine in his head he said, I told you so. I told you. You didn't believe me. Now look at you. You bowing down to me. So he arranged it so that one of them, he give them a whole bunch of grain, but in one of them sack, he put a cup. Simeon, I believe it was. And so he said, hey, you trying to steal a cup? And he took him and held him in prison, sent the other guys back. And said, if you bring Benjamin. Now, Benjamin was Joseph's only brother, you know, from the same mom. You know, because remember, Jacob had Rachel and Leah. And so there they were. Now, they go back home, and Jacob said, wait a minute. Joseph is gone, dead. Simeon is in prison. And now you want to take Benjamin too? So finally he did. And the end of the story is great. The hopeless years now have vanished. And what God said is now coming to pass. And now they all come back with Benjamin. And the boy that they laughed at for telling them that they would bow down to him prepares a great feast. And he calls them in, and then he identifies himself to his brothers. And he says to them in Genesis 50:20, "But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people's lives." Actually, the Israelites ended up in Egypt over this thing right here. And they lived for many years in good prosperity until another Pharaoh took over and put them into slavery. But see, Joseph's brothers, indeed, they wanted evil for him. But Joseph's forgiveness to his brothers allowed God to turn it around for him. When man and the devil meant to destroy Joseph, God turned it around for good. Have you gone through, or are you going through, some situations that look like you're going to be destroyed? You're not alone. Don't think you're the only one. There's many people that are in or have been in situations maybe worse than yours. But if you'll keep trusting God, He'll turn it around. The Bible is full of turnarounds. Abraham and Sarah couldn't have a son, but they kept believing God, and God turned it around. Hezekiah was deathly sick, and the prophet told him he was going to die. But he turned his face to the wall and prayed to God, and God turned it around, and he had 15 more years to his life. David came back to Ziklag with his men, and all of their wives and all their possessions was gone. The city was burned. But David renewed himself in the Lord, or encouraged himself, as the Bible says. And the Lord turned it around. They got everything back. The man brought his lunatic son to Jesus and asked him to do something, and God turned it around for him. The man at the gate called Beautiful, lame from birth. From the time his mother gave birth to him, he was lame. But God turned it around through two people that were walking through the gate. And Peter was bold enough to say, "Man, I don't have any money for you, but I got something that's a whole lot better. Such as have, give I to you." And he turned that man's situation around. Now, it was God ultimately doing it. But you see, if you will be open to God, He will use you to help turn somebody else's situation around. In most cases, where when we have a turnaround, God uses somebody else to give us, to help us to turn it around for them. Pharaoh turned it around for Pharaoh, but it was God behind it all. So many times we do not realize that it's God that's turning it around. We think maybe it's the person. No, it's not the person. It's God behind it. Anybody getting anything out of this? Turn to your neighbor and say, "God's a turnarounder." Hey. God specializes in hopeless situations, y'all. If God did it in Bible days, he can do it today. If God turned it around for Joseph, he can turn it around for you. God is a turnaround specialist. You know, nowadays, if you got something wrong, you got to go to the specialist. You know, you ever notice nowadays, used to you just took your car to the mechanic. Nowadays, you got to take the car to where they specialize working on that particular car. Anybody notice that? See, specialists. And in the medical field, we got specialists. In all the other fields, we got specialists. Well, God is the major turnaround specialist. No one greater than God's the turnaround specialist. When it looks like it's all over, when it looks like it's finished, and you're ready to throw in the towel, I mean, that means you're ready to quit, God will turn it around. Don't give up on God, and he won't give up on you. Somebody said, well, I don't know. Yeah, I know. If you keep going, God will turn it around. When everything is a mess, God can restore it to order. When troubles are piled up so high they're higher in your head, God can set you on top of your trouble. God can do the impossible. The turnaround specialist wants to work for you. God can reach to the lowest depths to fix your situation. He can go to the farthest place to restore you and restore what the enemy has taken for you and turn it around. You know, there's a song, Got Any Rivers? The chorus goes, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. God is the turnaround specialist. He can turn your mess into a message. He can turn your testimony. He can turn your test into a testimony. He can turn your trouble into a triumph. God is the turnaround specialist, and he can turn it around for you. This is your time. This is your hour to say, all right, God, I'm going to stay faithful to you, and I expect you to turn it around. I don't know how, I don't know when, but you can do it again. He is the turnaround specialist. Are you ready to believe that he will turn it around for you? If you are, stand up and begin to thank God, because he's turning it around for you. He's turning your situation around. Your situation is being turned around. You're turning it over to the turnaround specialist. Father, I thank you today that you, through the word of God, you turned it around for your people. And today, as each one of these sitting in this audience and each one listening there by the internet, I thank you that as they believe you, you will turn their situation around. We thank you for it. Hallelujah. How many of you believe he can turn your situation around? How many of you believe he's the turnaround specialist? Yeah. Hallelujah. You got something you're going to say?
Yes, we do.
He'll do it again.
God will do it again.
Don't you know God has not changed? You may not know how.
That song said, he's fighting for you. You may not know it. Hey, he was fighting for Joseph all the way till he got him to where he needed him to be. He's fighting for you. He's turning your situation around. God will do it. If he did it once, he'll do it again. And how many times in the Bible has he turned it around for somebody? If you believe in God for something today and your situation, turn to your neighbor and say, he's turning my situation around. Hallelujah. Did you just say that because I told you to, or did you say it because you really believe it? Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Well, bow your heads for just a moment, please. I never like to have a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus. You see, that's the first step in getting him to take care of your situation. That's to accept him as your personal Savior. So if you're in here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then I want you to know him before you leave here. If you're in here today and you know what it is to serve God, but you know that you're not where you're supposed to be, and you need to rededicate your life and get everything turned, or let the turnarounder, Jesus Christ and God the Father, turn your situation around, let me see your hand right now. I want to pray with you and for you. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life to God. Anybody, anywhere in this room, I want to pray with you, for you, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere, right now. Let me see your hand. This is the time that your situation gets turned around right now. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. I don't see any hands. But Father, if there's one person under the sound of my voice right now, I thank you that the Holy Spirit, convicting power of God, will go with them. And here comes someone right now. Here comes some coming down here. Come on. Y'all come on down. If you didn't raise your hand, you want to come, come on. God will turn it around. God will turn it around. Come on, I'm going to wait for somebody else. This woman will make sure she's coming down here. Hallelujah. Lord bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else going to be this bold to change your life? They want to change them. She wants to change her life. Her friend brought her down here. If you want somebody to walk with you, they will. I'm going to wait just a moment. Come on. Anybody want to come? Come on now. Come on now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that every spiritual need in this life will be met today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask you to go to a place of prayer with Greg and Christy right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You can go with them if you want to. Okay. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. There's one or some ones, I don't know how many, the Spirit of God just said that there's several of you. Yeah, yes, Lord, yes, several, okay. Several of you that need to rededicate your life. You're watching there, but you know you need a turnaround, and it starts with rededicating your life to God. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Raise your hand wherever you're at. Raise your hand. This congregation is going to reach their hand toward that camera, and we're going to pray for you. Repeat this prayer with me, with this congregation. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the God of turnaround. And I need to turn my life around by rededicating myself to you. And I thank you now that as I rededicate myself to you, I will be restored to where I was spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. I thank you now, Lord, that you are turning it around, because I am rededicating my life. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer with us, go to your computer there and go to partnerservices@rhema.org and tell us about it. We want to know about it. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Glory to God. Well, God is a turnaround specialist. How many of you, he's turned your life around? Hallelujah. And you know what? Every time you have a situation, don't care what it is, he'll turn it around if you'll stay faithful. Amen. Well, today on Rhema TV, we had 1,723. On Facebook Live, we had 652. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's our extended family. That's the extended Rhema church out there. I think nowadays they're calling them the E-Church. I don't know. But, hey, I know there's several I know that have talked to me, and they're there every Sunday. In fact, I just got a message on my messenger that a person was listening. I forget where it is in Europe they're at. They said, they took a picture and put it on there and showed me and Lynette on Rhema Praise. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? All the time. Amen.